And they're off. My love affair with the big Bronco race vest just keeps getting bigger and deeper and wider, like the Grand Canyon. I saw Bronco Billy running in his vest, doing a rim to rim to rim. He's training for Moab 240. Anything up to that distance, the big Bronco race vest from Ultra Spire is your go-to. Bryce Thatcher, 41 years in the business. Amazing, amazing, amazing race vest. Go to ultraspire.nz for more.
Currants, you know that we love those little black currant purple pills. We've been on the Currans buzz for ages. Check them out. Currans, curranz.co.nz. Read up the science. Get on those purple pills. You get 20% off your first order of Currans 30s with the code DIRTCHURCH. Easy to remember.
To what's also easy to remember, Further Faster are the best independently owned outdoor store in the known universe. No matter what you need, go to furtherfaster.co.nz, browse through the website, get the froth on for kayaking, packrafting, hiking, skiing, general outdoorsness, or if you want to, head along to 57A Buchan Street, Sydenham, Otutahi Christchurch. They're a ride or die. We love them. They rule. Further Faster.
It goes something like Further Faster there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go to Further Faster now.
Oh, Further Faster there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go to Further Faster now.
DIRTCHURCH Radio.
Episode 270 of DIRTCHURCH Radio. I'm Matt Raymond.
And I am Eugene Bingham. Tēnā koutou katoa. We made it.
We made
I'm
it,
glad
mate.
To see you made it.
Yes, I made it. You made it.
I did.
I was glad to see you. What a weekend.
Huge, huge weekend. Huge weekend.
Huge weekend. Yes. And let's look, we've got a bumper show.
Mm.
We've got so much to get through. We're going to stick to the outline, aren't we, Eugene?
We've
this is you
to the
saying in your
degree.
Head to me.
I was
stick to the
I was like
stick
producing it to within an inch of its life.
I've read the notes and I'm ready to go. But hey, look, we've got some news. Island Hill Station plays host to the Skedaddle Trail running event on Saturday, the 27th of April. Now, this looks epic. There are five race distances to choose from. The 42-kilometre two-tonner, 30-kilometre wildebeest, 15-kilometre dozer line, 10-kilometre humble dove in the 4-kilometre kids event, the weaning muster. High Country Station, it's beautiful. It's renowned for its ever-changing diversity, from dense native forest to open sub-alpine ridges and rolling farm meadow. Happen to know that the 42-kilometre two-tonner has over 2,000 metres of vertical gain. They've even got a trail. They've got a trail janitor who goes along and tooties up the trails. And we know this because that weekend we're going to be at the Skedaddle. And on April the 25th, we're going to get down. Finally, we're going to be in store at Further Faster. We're going to do a live podcast. We're going to have some guests. We're going to lay it all out there. It's going to be amazing. And we've been planning. This has been in the works for years.
If we went back through our emails, it's probably years, isn't it, that we've talked about this, about getting down. But finally, our calendars have aligned. Jules and Rocky gave us the hard word. And we were like, we went, yes, okay, let's do this.
Yep.
So Anzac Day, we can't wait. It's going to be cool. We've got some excellent things planned, some cool stuff that we want to try and do. Yeah, more details to follow, but we just wanted to give you a put it in your calendar reminder. Anzac, evening of Anzac Day. And then, yeah, we're going to head along to the skedaddle on April 27th. I am eyeing up that four kids winning muster race, I tell you. Right, where to start? Because we've got a hang of a lot to cover off this week. And we were both out at Riverhead Relapse Backyard Ultra. You for much longer than me. And we'll come to that.
There's also Northburn this weekend. And we want to cover that. And then there was a little race. Don't know if you've heard of it. They don't really put too much publicity. No. It's called the Barclay Marathons in Frozen Head State Park in Tennessee. And what an amazing outcome in so many ways.
It was amazing. And we're going to break down each of those things. Also, look, a quick apology to anyone who listened to DCR Aid Station podcast last week, because I accidentally on purpose gave away who was supposed to be our guest this week. But look, after the weekend, we just decided, look, there's so much to get on with from this weekend that we're going to do this. And then we promise to play that interview soon. If you don't know who it is, well, you know, you should sign up to the DCR Aid Station podcast and then you'll be in the know. Yeah.
Anyway, look, do sign up to the Aid Station crew. It's so cool. But first of all, Barclay Marathons. And of course, we had the first finisher from Aotearoa, New Zealand, the man who we love to have our hearts broken by, Greg Hamilton. And the first, I'm so happy about that. And the first, can I say, I was out doing me laps on the weekend, breaking the fourth wall. We have asked Greg to come on the show before, and he's politely let us down through
our rejection emails from him on the weekend as I was writing another pleading email to him. He's very polite. He's very polite. However,
he's so lovely.
He's very firm.
Hoi anō. I was running with someone who knows people who run with him, and apparently he doesn't talk about it to his friends.
Wouldn't that be embarrassing if you were like running with Greg Hamilton, you hadn't caught the news because he hasn't told anyone, and you're like, what did you do at the weekend? He's like, oh, not much, you know.
Exactly.
What did you do? Oh, well, I did park run. Oh, wow, that's really interesting. Tell me more. Anyway,
and I think that is the measure of the man. So,
but also Greg, huge weekend,
and the first female finisher, Jasmine Paris. There were five finishers this year, the most ever, and that makes 20 since it was extended to 100 miles in 1989.
Wow.
100 miles in air quotes. Yeah. That was 35 years ago. What I love about this is, well, they're both legends, and they've both gone back and gone back and gone back an inch closer and closer. And this year, the two of them finally achieved something absolutely remarkable.
Absolutely. And for Jasmine, of course, it's an astonishing glass ceiling moment. For so long, there's been debate about whether women would ever be able to do it. And of course, you know, the race founder, Gary Cantrell, aka Lazarus Lake, he's sort of been quite firm and staunch about it, hasn't he? And he even talked about it with you last year when you interviewed him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And it's really interesting because he is a man of his time. Mm. And, you know, he's of the sort of that the baby boomer generation. And I think some of his views perhaps would sound not jarring, but in today's kind of parlance, you know, he's a man of his time. But he said very clearly that a female would struggle to finish the Barclay. However, what he did say is if there was anyone that was going to do it, it was going to be Jasmine Paris. Mm. And I think that does open the gates, doesn't it? Like, because if it's like that 4 minute mile analogy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you can see it, you can do it. So look, Jasmine, as we said, was one of five finishers, which is, you know, the record finishers in a record number of finishes in a year. Her finishing time was 59 hours, 58 minutes and 21 seconds, 99 seconds inside the 60 hour cutoff. Have you seen the footage of her coming towards the finish line? Wow. And then that interview with her afterwards where like her voice is just gone. But one of the most interesting things, and I've had this thought myself, was she was pushing herself thinking, if I don't make it, I'm going to have to come back again and do it again. So like you're in a hole. You don't want to be back in this hole again. So you're doing everything you can to get there. And that obviously pushed her along. So it's just, you know, astonishing, astonishing outcome, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was incredible. And what frightens me even more than that is, you know, how Laz has said for every person that finishes, he makes it 5% harder, I think it is. And there were five people that finished this year. So I don't know what they'll do. Perhaps release chimpanzees into the park or whatever it is. But my goodness me. Run us down the stats.
Yeah, sure. So we'll just quickly on Jasmine, in case you haven't, you know, you're not aware. She made headlines in 2019 by winning the Montane Spine Race along the Pennine Way in Northern England. She broke the course record by 12 hours. You know, she's a vet and research scientist in Edinburgh, first competed in Barclays in 2022, where she did the three loops, which is the fun run. And last year she completed a fourth loop, but she was outside the time limit. So there was, you know, that was she came in, as we said, 99 seconds under the cutoff. Ukrainian-Canadian runner Ihor Verez, in his debut, was the first to finish, returning to camp 58 hours, 44 minutes and 59 seconds. Then there was John Kelly, his third finish in seven attempts, 59 hours, 15 minutes and 38 seconds. Jared Campbell of Utah, who's had four finishes, which is just amazing. And then our very own Greg Hamilton, fourth finish, coming in at 59 hours, 38 minutes and 42 seconds.
It's mind-blowing, and it is mind-blowing that kind of distance in those kind of conditions. And I guess what we remember, we were in your room recording, and we were just absolutely freaking out about Jasmine, who also, when she won the spine race, the big thing at the time. And it's amazing. I think, you know, other runners we've spoken to, and there's been Sophie who came on the show. She Jasmine was expressing, and then when she went, she finished the race, she was back at work on Monday working on a PhD.
Yeah.
As you do.
Amazing. Amazing. It's astonishing, isn't it? Absolutely astonishing. And Greg, you know, he was inspired by another Kiwi, Matt Bixley.
Yeah, he's the mouth of the South. And this is from Orienteering New Zealand website. It's 2015, Matt tapped out when he realized he couldn't compete the five loops. Matt wanted to return, but he didn't quite get there and motivated Greg to have a go. I mean, we are well known for intrepid navigators and adventure racers who can deal with all types of terrain, and we'll get to that one later, and use orienteering events to keep their navigation skills current. Both Matt and Greg, members of the local Canterbury Club, the Peninsula and Plains Orienteers, and he's also a world champion Rogainer.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And this is, so Greg previously said about his training, most of his runs were in the 1 hour to 2.5 hour range on the Port Hills and in Christchurch. Only did a couple of longer day trips, which were a good chance to test out food and make sure his feet were in good condition. Got reasonable invert in each week just from running on the hills most days. Didn't really resort to doing hill repeats or anything, as it's mind-numbingly boring. I love that too. Yeah. I love that it actually he's making the training work for him, and that also he's – there's a – just pragmatism.
Yeah.
Went for runs in the hills.
That's right. Get out in the hills. Look, we, as we've already mentioned, we've tried to get Greg on the show a couple of times. We're hoping he'll reconsider. But we thought, you know, we could ask someone who has been to Barclay, who knows us, who might give us an answer. And so we asked Katie Wright who to share a few thoughts. Of course, Katie is based in Queenstown, and she was the inaugural winner of the Riverhead Backyard Ultra as well.
And she wrote into us and she said, what a year, absolutely stoked for all the finishes. I only have a small window on the dedication and sacrifices made to just to get to the start line, let alone the 59 hours plus of pushing the limits of what is possible. There really are no words. Watching just the last 60 second of Jasmine's race, the culmination of those years of work and the superhuman effort to get it done, so incredibly inspiring and so hugely well-deserved. What a year.
Indeed, indeed. All right. Look, before we get into our relapse and Northburn rundowns, let's do what we do every week.
Greatest run ever.
greatest run ever?
Greatest run ever, which is the part of the show where we ask you to write into us and tell us your greatest run ever. It doesn't have to be a race or a mountain summit. Might just be run around the block, something that sung to you for some reason. Send it in to us or come on the show, Greg, at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. And this is from Joe Ashton from Port Macquarie, Australia. Hi, Matt and Eugene. It was awesome to see you guys at Ultra Trail Kosciuszko and have a quick chat to you, Matt, after the 50-kilometer race start after seeing my friends and hubby off. I'd been planning on sending this in for ages as I've been listening to your podcast for a while, but bumping into you was a reminder to finally send it in. My greatest run ever came soon after a terrible race in my hometown of Port Macquarie. A hot flat road run had left me and a friend who were both doing UTA soon afterwards feeling unmotivated and doubting whether we could make it. My husband had just found out his upcoming Ironman race had also been cancelled, thanks COVID. So when we first saw the inaugural St. Albans trail race pop up on our Facebook feed, I entered the three of us up on a whim, even though it was only 2 weeks away. So I know that feeling. St. Albans is a tiny, and she puts here, I mean really tiny town in New South Wales, just north of Sydney, the kind of town where random dogs and cows seem to roam the streets. After a crazy drive involving a few dirt roads, we set up camp at the start line and headed to the historic pub across the road where you feel like you could be in 1900. The next morning, we headed to the start line and off on the dirt road, not sure what to expect. In the lead up to the race, there'd been a lot of rain, so other creek crossings and mud became rather interesting. Being relatively new to trail running, I didn't yet realize mud and running don't mix. Who says they don't mix? So managed to fall head over heels right in front of the official photographer. Definitely a contender for my running club's photo of the year. A bit more mud, we came across our first creek crossing and my first ever waist deep creek crossing, which wasn't so bad. Next, we got chased by a goat and then a cow along a path and came across the kids / dog race, which was hilarious as they had a creek crossing too, mud, dogs and kids. Definitely an entertaining combo. On we went, having a ball, chatting and greeting all the amazing volunteers, which appeared to be every member of the town, ages range from 5 to 105, all from the Rural Fire Service, which the race was raising money for. On to the last creek crossing, this one was interesting. With the help of a rope and a lovely volunteer, I managed to make it across, though being rather short, the water managed to come up to my neck, so I had to shimmy across with my running vest balanced precariously on my head, much to everyone's amusement. On to the last few kilometres, and I could confidently say my running mojo was back. All I needed was a bit of mud, some beautiful scenery, friends, and trail running. What a way to spend the day. Thanks, Joe Ashton.
Wow, Joe. That's amazing. I mean, we love a good of being chased by wild goats, wild cows, that kind of stuff in a race. Mud, yeah, you could have been describing any one of, you know, any one of number of runs that I've been on, actually. That is amazing. I love it.
Couldn't get me into a creek in Australia for love nor money.
Oh, where's this? No, New South Wales, you should be all right. Yeah. No crocs. Is that what you're worried about? Anything.
Male platypus have a poisonous spur.
Okay, all right.
I'm just going to leave that out there.
Somebody got killed by a mountain lion. Just saying. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Pivoting from that high point.
Right. Relapse. Riverhead relapse. No, I always get this wrong. Riverhead, and I wrote it down so I'd remember and now I can't find it. Riverhead Backyard Relapse Ultra.
Riverhead Relapse Backyard Ultra Marathon.
Was on at the weekend and you were in it.
Yeah, I was in it. And you know, we've talked about this leading up to the race. It was something that I impulsively entered. It was not on the plan. I've said before, I've gone on the record.
Kind of you were entered rather than
I
you
was
entered.
Yeah. Yes. I was entered by my family and a willing participant there. But something that I wasn't, I've been on the record saying I wasn't a fan of the format. Couldn't see what the appeal was and was a little bit skeptical of the vibe sometimes. And I've gone on the record saying all of that, and that's not to take away from anyone who enters or puts them on or does anything like that. And my God, what a time. Expectations well and truly shattered. Lessons, lots and lots and lots of lessons learned, and really, really, really amazing time, and a clinic, getting to run with some incredible runners who just the thing that got me is the the strategy. You have to be on all the time.
Right.
And that was so interesting. It was so much like I was engaged the whole time. It was really, really, really cool. Yeah. So
now, because it's, I mean, it was slightly unusual this year because there was such a big field. But so imagine this was dictated to you. But how much were you thinking about, oh, I should be aiming for X minutes a slap? Oh, I might take it a bit easier. Oh, I might go a bit faster.
I'd had a talk to Adam, and he had said, so Adam, my coach, Keane, was like, Adam Keane, my coach, and he said you need to aim for sort of between about 5 minutes rest at the end of each lap, because that'll sort you out. And there's lots of different, you know, there's lots of different strategies. Yeah. Some people are quicker, more efficient. Some people aren't. And some people sort of prefer the sweet spot. I was worried initially because I'd run the course once, very single track heavy, especially in the back half. Yeah. And thinking that there would be 200 people on the trail, and there was about 185 starters, so a big field. Oh, it was 210,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so 210 people on the start line, and we were off. But the brilliant thing about it was because there were so many people, you just kind of you were both pushed along and limited. So there were certain sections where you would walk. There were certain sections. And very quickly sort of found out that, you know, say I'd worked out three markers on the course where I needed to be at a certain time. I had the pleasure, the great, great pleasure, and I really luck out on these races to run with Zara Collins, one of the oldest running, what do they call themselves, running beauties, beast foot forward, one of Sean and Madeline's daughters, and we stuck together for a long time. So the first sort of six laps went by pretty quickly and pretty automatically. And if you're just sticking to your time, sticking to your times, sticking to where you kind of need to be, it was good. The weather was great. It had rained in the morning. It wasn't wet at all, really. It can be very hot in because it's in that valley. It can be really, really hot in sections. It was quite muggy, and it was very loud, actually. That was the thing that you kind of had to, you could tune in and tune out, and you could sort of tune in and tune out chat. So
it was loud at base, you mean?
No, it was loud the whole way you're in a conga line, essentially, that was snaking.
Yeah.
So especially around the back half of the forest, which was all is this beautiful old school single track through the pine trees, it was just fantastic. But you could hear this noise behind you, but you could also hear it in front of you. So it was loud, and it was distracting. But it was a fantastic time, and I found myself hitting really consistent laps. So
you did.
So coming in sort of 52 minutes. So within 10 seconds, 15 seconds of each other, bang, bang, bang. You know. Great pleasure seeing you, crewed excellently by our youngest daughter Lily and Rebecca. It was amazing. Lola took off to hang out with the big guns.
She was
like
Cocker and
Carl Reed.
Yeah.
She was like, see you later, sucker. And just getting food in, and surprising how long, even when sort of sitting down, how long 6 minutes is or 7 minutes.
Oh.
And even when the 3 minute whistle goes, it's a long time. You're like, right, I've got 2 more minutes.
Yeah, because I found myself in the time that I was there with you, they would blow the 3 minute whistle and I'd be like, oh, you better get going, kind of thing. But you were just like chilling. You were,
yeah.
It was like you had another 20 minutes to go.
Yeah. So I figured, you know, you hear that 3 minute whistle, 90 seconds want to be up. If you're feeling good, get back into the corral, find Zara, you know, find that group of people. And also like, I was running at points, you know, if you're running by like Shannon Rhodes, Brooke, Jamie Stevenson, all those people, you're like, I'm sticking by them because they know what they're doing. You know, some really experienced people. So
Yeah. And so, I mean, getting to the pointy end, what was your thought process on your last couple of laps, and how did you go through that process of deciding, or was it decision made for you that was it?
No, the decision wasn't made, and that was really good. So I'd had it in my head that I sort of thought anything over an ultra I'd be really stoked with, and I had in my head I wanted to do 10 laps. So eight laps minimum, 10 laps would be really good. And I'd love to run in the dark. And I had been, again, going really, really, really consistently through. And then my second to last lap, I was like, okay, starting to get a bit tired. I was sort of 2 minutes back thinking, all right. And I got to this bridge, it was 2 minutes back. And I was like, okay, sweet as. And then sped up and got down a hill and into the thing. And I was like, okay, cool. Went out again. That was cool. And then on that lap, I was like, oh, my legs are really quite, they're sore, you know, because you're consistently running, you're doing all the things. And I knew by sort of the last 2K, I was like, I'm definitely going to get in and I'm going to be okay. And I'm not going to be like racing the 1 minute whistle or anything, but I got in around 58 minutes, I think 58:30. And I was like, I've got a race coming up in a month. I really want to do, I want to keep training. I want to keep building. I had it. I was like, I'm not going to make cutoff next lap. And I didn't want to get timed out and I didn't want to die in the chair. So I got into the thing and Rebecca's like, here's your start. You know, she was like, get out there. And I said, no, I'm good. And she asked me three times, because that's the thing. I'm like, ask me three times. She asked me three times. I said, no, I'm good. I took a step over the line, then turned back and was so happy. And no, you know, the saying, you know, are you going to regret it? Are you going to regret it? No, all good. So it was like 73.81, according to the website, which I'm super happy with. 11 laps.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's fantastic. It's interesting to me that you'd said beforehand 10 would be good. You did 11. So in the back of your mind, were you like, oh, I'm good now. I'm done. You know, like, was that part of the equation as well?
It was part of the equation when I got up over, when I got over a marathon. And you find, like, I put my watch on, like, because I messaged Andrew McDowell. Yeah. I was like, Andrew, do I do lap one, lap two, lap three? And he's like, turn your watch on. And then when you finish, turn your watch off. So I turned my watch on and then I had it just on the time of day. I didn't have it on pace or distance or anything. A couple of times I forgot what lap we were on.
Yeah.
So it was just that thing. And you know, my feet were starting to hurt. My quads were starting to hurt, like, but quite significantly. And I felt like I didn't want to time out. And I didn't particularly in this race want to completely destroy myself, nor did I want to kind of, like, if I'd been going for, say, over 100K, which I'd love to do, gunning for that line on your last lap would be good. But yeah, it was so, just the people, you know, like, that's what really made it. It was a wonderful vibe. People were very kind.
What's the protocol of stepping across the line and back?
I wanted to start the next lap.
Yes, because
I wanted to.
But is that so? Because a few people did that, and I was like, is that because otherwise you'd be counted for one lap less? Or
I couldn't be sure, and I was thinking like, yeah, I was thinking like, go like finish 12 laps and start the 12th, because I didn't want to DNF in the corral.
Yeah.
So even though technically it was like 10 steps, and I turned around and came back, yeah. But super, super fun.
Well, big question. Would you do one again?
Yes, absolutely. I would do one again. Absolutely. I would do one again. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of doing one again, Stu Lynch, he came back and wow, he got the job done. 43 yards, which in old money is 288.53 kilometers, which surpasses the Riverhead record of 38 held by Chris Bisley in that amazing year, and was 10 laps further than Sam Harvey did last year. You'll hear from Sean, there was less elevation and more sort of flowy trail this year, so maybe going further is to be expected. But, you know, also there was an amazing solid crew this year, and there seemed to be a great vibe. Everyone sort of pushing each other along.
Yeah, there was a really great... really, really great vibe. I wonder if Lazarus Lake being there last year turned it into a bit of blood sport. It did have kind of and maybe that's my own perception, right? And I own that. It did have more of a, hey, this is rad. It was a supportive thing. Everyone was working together. Everyone was kind of, you know, there. I saw one, you know, there was one lap where three of the top eight at that stage fell over coming around a corner because they're all just, you know, up in the second morning. They stop, pick each other up. Not saying that you just run on, but it was really evident how collegial it was. So, yeah, fantastic. And, I mean, top DNFs, Caleb Pearson. So he was the assist last year with Sam. 42 yards, 281.82 kilometers. Huge, huge, huge. Caleb's great. He's won Riverham a couple of times too. So, good dude. Shannon Rhodes, privilege of running a couple of laps with him. 40 yards, 268.4 kilometers. Just, again, fantastic. Brooke Thomas, legend. 38 yards, 254.98. And Anthony Kerr-Taylor, local boy. Again, one of these guys started running during lockdown. Lived in Crabfields Lane in a little home and income. And I'd see him out in the forest in his Warriors hat. And I'd go like, oh, cool beard. Because he has a massive beard,
yeah,
you know?
He does.
And he was eighth.
Yeah, eighth at Tarawera.
At Tarawera. Mm. And backed up and just amazing. So 37 yards, 248.27 kilometers.
Yeah. And what was fantastic this year was to see so many women right up there, keeping on going. You know, obviously Brooke leading the way. She was astonishing, got a PB, you know, but others were there as well, weren't they? You know, Michelle Dean and Helen Waterworth, just they were going and going and going, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Just the crew. Yeah. Shelley Dean. Amazing. I mean, she's always so rad and so just like, you know.
She's a personality, just, isn't she?
You she's know, a like, personality.
Yeah, absolutely.
She is a personality.
And she just, you know, she just got it done. She was amazing. Yeah, yeah.
Deanna Osvaluk, I mean, that's one of Sam Harvey's athletes, 27 yards, right. 181.17 kilometers. She killed it as well. And Hadani Woodruff, again, you know, one of the mainland mafia from Christchurch, just she was that a hoot. 26 yards, 174.46k.
Amazing. Look, what do we know about Stuart? He is an adventure racer with the champion God's Own team, Avaya. You know, they've just won everything forever. He grew up in rural King Country, and he's now a Westie living in Tiastu. Actually, is he still in Tiastu? This is a bit old, this info, but Westie, we'll call him a Westie. He took up adventure racing after realizing he couldn't beat his brother at downhill mountain biking, so he just gave it a shot. go the brothers who inspire you to go on and do other things. Anyway, what, you know, he just seemed to be in control all weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing too, like he's my age and he does look a little bit older because he's kind of weather beaten. You know, he's been adventure racing for like 25 years, so he's been out in the elements, but he's just, we've run with him in Riverhead before. We've seen just how, just what a, the word beast is just, it's a gender neutral pronoun, isn't it, in this environment. Absolute beast. And just that, go to the well. You know, go to the well and just get it done. And Rebecca was, the cool thing is Rebecca was out there most of the weekend as well, just hanging out. She got back late last night and she was saying, hey, you know, oh, Stuart's looking a bit rough, you know, but right. It's that. And she was talking about the little mind games that the little interplays.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Caleb was first into the corral. He'd be doing the Chris Bisley. He'd be waiting for everyone. And then everyone else would sort of saunter in. And apparently Brooke's thing was she'd arrive like 10 seconds before, but push to the front and then dart off.
Yeah, like, I was watching the live feed, which was a great job done by, you know, the Runners with Beard's crew. And I would be watching and it'd be like, where's Brooke? Oh, no. And then bang, she'd just step in.
Very deliberate.
Oh,
very
wow.
Awesome.
Wow. So. Yeah. I mean, well, we're talking about it, you know, shout out to that coverage. It was great to be able to watch. And it was also entertaining watching the chat, especially late at night with Steve Tripp, Stephanie Grace, and others just going nuts in there. It was quite entertaining in itself.
I think Anthony Curtala nearly getting his junk out.
Yeah, I had my hands over my eyes at that point. That was what, Sunday afternoon, wasn't it? And it was like, no. And then he must have spotted the camera or something and then ducked off to the side. It's like,
he came running in going, oh, guess what I nearly did? And and Chris Newson, who is one of the His and Hers endurance events kits
with Helen.
Helen's partner, and just again, he's won a backyard. Awesome dude. We got up and did, because they're putting on the King's Backyard in Whangarei in June, which is going to be awesome. But we looked like we were in The Hobbit, because he's about 11 billion feet tall, and I'm not even 6 foot, I'm like 5'10", and it looked like forced perspective. We're both standing there trying to talk about our perspective races. So, no, fantastic. The live streaming really made the event.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. Look, out there on Saturday, I caught up with quite a few people. So here are some interviews. Look, Andrew McDowell, apologies for the sound quality. It was really loud out there this year. It was like, even when we were going way down the driveway, you could still, like, we were going to have to go back to Riverhead, I think, to be able to get it quiet. It was super loud. Anyway, so apologies, Andrew. I spoke to these good people, not only about Riverhead, but about Barclay as well, especially the achievements of Jasmine and Greg and what it meant. So in particular order, first up, it's a quick catch up with your good self, Matt, as I think it was lap five you were coming in for and heading out for lap six. That one, that is quite noisy because we were by the speaker. But anyway, I've done my best, Andrew, honest. Then, you know, you have obviously Rebecca, Lily, Scott Bougen, and Ben Fraser also feature in that little clip. Then it's race director, or as he called himself, camp commandant. Sean, no, he didn't. Sorry, camp commander. Sorry.
Commandant puts a real flavor on the event.
Anyway, Sean Collins, apologies. Madeline Collins. Then one Alola Raymond of Riverhead, and particularly we talked about Jasmine, of course, and then Chris McDonald from Runners with Beards. So let's just roll with that. How's it going?
Good.
Toilet.
Mimi. Are you going to tape me?
Yeah. I won't come in.
I'm just going.
Where you going? Bushes.
Yeah.
How are you going?
I'm good, man. How are you?
How's it feeling?
It's feeling great.
You're looking good.
Thank you.
You're looking just very controlled. I'll let you do your duties.
Thank you.
Oh, that's Matt Raymond. He's looking very controlled. I'll describe the scene here. It is a tent city. There is far more tents than previous years. They're all lined up. Getting a park was actually a bit of an issue as well. There was cars all the way down to the main road, and then cars squeezed in everywhere. There are motorhomes. And as I say, tents for, looks like a music festival. The speakers are around pumping out the sounds. It's cool. It's cool. It's a really good vibe. Oh, and here comes Matt Raymond. He's done his duties. Oh, it's a big crew.
It's a really big crew. It's really intense. It's been
intense.
Intense in the fact that, like, you're just surrounded. Like, I've been running with Brock Thomas, Shannon Rhodes, just people who are expert, and they're like, you walk there. I'm like, yes, chef. You know, like,
just doing as you're told.
Yeah.
I'm good. We've got Scott Bowden here, expert crew.
I'm doing this on purpose. It's hot out there, so I'll just slide down.
Hey, bank it now.
Yeah,
definitely bank it now, Matt. Yeah.
All good. So, yeah.
Get the coke.
Oh, sorry, Scott, I had you. Dressed you up, didn't take you dancing.
I was ready to go, you know. Yeah. Left me hanging.
How's he looking, crew chief? Crew chief.
Hey, I'm a stepping. He's crew chief right over there.
Different tent. He just stepped in to help with the blister situation, but we seem to have it all under.
Three very strong whistles from our guest whistler.
Just can't resist a good blister, you know.
Oh yeah, he spotted a spotted a blister from miles off. Came running.
The whistler in training.
Got my kit ready to go.
That's a big kit.
Yeah, it is. I kind of got a bit of a fetish with first aid, you know, like.
Yeah. So who doesn't?
I'm not too partial.
I mean, you can't be an ultra runner without loving blisters.
Nah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, what are we eating, Matt?
A wrap.
A chicken wrap.
Chicken wrap.
Bit of protein.
Has the food been going right?
Yeah, it's been good. Everything's good. It's good.
On track?
On track.
Yeah.
And as much as this is all new. Yeah.
Well, you're now into ultra territory.
Yep, into ultra territory. So, happy, happy, happy.
They may not be coming into the growl. They may be sprinting.
No, they can't be good. I have to choose on the
way. Make sure you leave some room out front.
And then we might go some simple sugars next time.
Yeah, oh, this is electrolyte, but I've had Towan every other time. So.
It's so nice to see it.
Yeah, is it hard getting into the corral? It's like it's packed.
It's
elbows out.
It's definitely.
Then the roof prop full elbows.
Yeah. And it keeps you. It's keeping you honest. Yeah. But also it's keeping.
Just jump on the train.
Mm.
Yeah.
We've got Ben Fraser here as well. How are you going, mate?
I'm going fantastic.
Oh,
I'm loving it.
You having a good time?
Sorry. I'm coming up.
Got a water situation.
Got a water situation. Yeah, it's beautiful. This is a lovely course.
Water's coming in,
midway. And yeah, enjoying myself. I've committed to only doing 7 laps, so which is quite nice. Yeah, all yours, buddy.
All right, get into it. Get in that corral. All right, here we go.
It's going great.
All right, here we go. This is the expert opinion from Lily.
Space for runners. Let them get to their tent if they can make it through this mosh pit.
Hey! How you doing? How you doing, Lola Raymond? We're live.
Oh, are you live?
Well, here we go, we are live.
Kind of live. Sort of.
Oh. How do you think everyone's looking, Lola?
Pretty good. It's pretty hot. People are overheating without realizing.
Yeah,
it's quite overcast.
Yeah. It is quite warm. But at least it's not raining now.
Yeah, at least.
We've got Carl right there.
Where's the enthusiasm, man? Where's the enthusiasm?
Ready to go.
Daydreaming. 10 seconds!
Oof.
Oh, Sean.
Oh, cool.
Sean.
Oh,
someone's coming in.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, cool. I'm going to go soon.
Sean Collins, we meet again.
We do.
Do you have
we make a habit of this.
That's right. At least what we just mentioned, we're not in the shower.
Yes.
It's on the rat-infested shower.
I still have nightmares about that shower interview.
Yeah, that was pretty horrifying. But we've come into the bush this time. It's a little bit more salubrious.
And there's one person missing, so maybe that was the shower factor.
Could be. Yeah. In fact, where is he? Are we sure he's out on course?
True. It was his preferred studio, the shower.
That's right. Now, what's your job title this year? Commander?
For this event?
Yes.
Yes, Supreme Commander. I got my badge after last year's event, so I've been up to Supreme Commander, which is quite exciting.
Well, it's a supreme event. I was coming along Araremu Valley Road, and it was just like, oh, sorry, there must be some massive music festival on, because there was cars all over the road. This is huge.
Yeah, it's pretty big now. We had 210 entrants. But strangely, there was 20 that didn't turn up. There were no shows.
DNF. Which is quite weird. DNS like, before the DNF.
Yeah, like, why do you DNS a backyard?
Yeah.
Surely you're committed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
But that's... How does that compare to... I mean, the first event was... Well, I don't know. What?
50 to 60 people. And
yeah,
it just keeps growing each year. And the exciting thing is that of the entrants, we ask if they've done a backyard before, and 70%... that are here today haven't done a backyard, which is really cool.
No way.
It's catching on. It's not just those weirdos that keep coming back to go round and round. It's new people wanting to be weirdos.
Well, I guess the question could be, where have those ones gone?
Yeah. Yeah. They've woken up to the fact that...
Done that.
Yeah.
But it is... And I was reflecting on, as I was watching people come through, there's a lot of faces that I haven't seen before. You know, people... I'm not trying to sound judgmental, but a lot of people you don't normally see at a trail event even.
Yeah, exactly. Like even other races around the country, they're new, and you speak to them and like, oh, you've done a half or I've done marathon, and that's why I organise these events, is because people come along with that as their history, like the furthest they've been, and thinking that's like awesome.
Yeah.
Because they haven't, I guess, caught the trend of the regular you know, the trail running tread that you have to do 100 before you even made it. And they come along and they get to achieve like doubling of their personal best sometimes, which is so cool, just from the atmosphere and the format.
Yeah, and I guess too with, you know, well, as you said, 210, was that in the end, starters, you get pulled along.
Mm.
I mean, I was watching the live feed and I was staggered at the size of the corral. Like, man, it was like sardines packed in there. So when you're out on the trails, you're going to get pulled along by that, aren't you? Like, the old bus
effect. And it was pretty slow for the first few laps as people work out their paces on that.
Mm.
But now that they, you know, everyone's settled into their pace, out on the course, it's a lot more streamlined and the queues are gone over the little one-lane bridges and things.
Mm. And yet, yes, I still also, as well as the people who, you know, this is their first event, they might be trying to do, as you say, half marathon or something. There's still a few guns in the field this year, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely. There's some people there that could easily get up into the 40s to 50. We're hoping to get the New Zealand record to get that 51 at least.
Yeah.
And there's definitely people here, women and men, that can do it. And lots of people coming back saying, like, it's a really good course, and hopefully that pays off for them to just keep going and going. The more we can keep in, the better the chances for everyone to go along.
Mm. What was your thinking with the creation of this course?
So last year was a bit of an anomaly with the last minute change in venue. So
when it's over the other side of the forest. This year we're back at the sort of traditional
venue at Barlow Road, at the headquarters. And the last time that we were here, the course had quite a big hill in it at about the sort of third of the way through. And the lead into that hill, as well as the hill, got turned into a slip and slide basically if it rained. So it was pretty miserable for them. So I've knocked out that hill. So the verts per lap sort of down to 80 or 90 now as opposed to 140. And it's a lot more flowy. It's a good mix of gravel and single trail. Yeah, so it's a bit of something for everybody's styles.
Because you don't want to put it on a concrete track just around and around. There's got to be some challenge in it, doesn't there?
Yeah, exactly. And we're lucky that each New Zealand backyard is quite different. You know, Crazies is sort of on a beach and with dunes and through a big, like, sandy forest. Pigs is quite a hardcore course with string crossings and that. Arrowtown's on quite firm and flattish, quite flat terrain. So people can either do them all or pick and choose which one sort of suits their style. There's one I choose, it would be this one, but I can't. This suits my style.
When you put on that first one all those years ago, people were a little bit like, what is this thing? What are they? And now, you know, there are, say, a few around the country, quite a few around the country. Was it, you know, did you think it would take off the way that it has?
No, and it was a very hard sell in the early years, like trying to explain to people what it was. And it's not just trying to explain, it's not just for the top people that want to be the last person standing. It's for everybody to challenge themselves. And, you know, I was selfish. I put it on the first one here because I wanted to run one. And I did, but it was a bit messy because running and organising, you know, it doesn't work. It's a drain. But, yeah, from there, it's just the marketing, that it's not just for the pointy end, has naturally happened as more and more people, you know, they see pictures of, and quote marks, normal people doing a backyard and getting good, you know, 10 laps or 6 laps. You know, we're up to the 8th lap now, and we've got 151 still going. And the people that are finished have been stoked with what they've got on their, like, 6 laps or 7 laps.
Yeah, because we're into ultramarathon territory.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they've found it reasonably easy because you get a break every hour and you can eat and drink and sit down. Reasonably easy.
Reasonably, yeah. Last year, of course, Laz was out here. This year, he's a little bit busy.
Yeah, he has. And I'm going to say that that's why he didn't select me to go to Barkley. Because he knew that our event was on the state the same day as Barkley. No, it's been cool. We've been, we had a big cheer when the finishes happened, and we put it over the PA system, and everybody did a big clap to hear that we had a Kiwi finisher and a first woman finisher as well. Yeah, it's cool.
It's, I mean, that's just, it's, it feels like a real breakthrough, doesn't it?
Both, yeah,
for New Zealand, but also for women to,
yeah,
have,
and people,
Jasmine do what she's done. It's,
yeah,
amazing.
And Les has sort of always gotten hassled in the past for, you know, not, he recognises a woman, but not setting a goal achievable for a woman, and people have hassled him, but he's chucked the challenge out there, and Jasmine's, you know, she's been, each year she's gotten further and further, and she's showing everybody else that, no, I can do the same course, and it's a challenge for everyone. Mm. So it's, yeah, super cool.
Greg, you know, he's gone there for what, his third year?
Or fourth,
yeah. And done the fun run. So he's kind of chipped away,
yeah,
too.
He's chipped away as well. At a similar time as Jasmine, like, in the same races, just chipped away at it and got further and further, and still hasn't come on your podcast, but maybe this is it. Maybe he was waiting till he finished and had something to talk about.
An email may have been sent.
Yes, yeah, good. It's a challenge, a personal challenge from the North Island.
Yeah. Well, in lieu of Greg, of course, you know, we need to know a bit about him. Do you know much about his background?
I don't. I know...
He's an orienteer by...
Yeah. Yeah, I know that he's done orienteering.
I thought all orienteers knew each other.
He's done well in road gaining with Chris, yep, Thorne. They've been a good match together for many years, doing world champs road gains and national champs and things. But yeah, pretty quiet and...
As we've found.
Yeah, humble and just chips away at it, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's, and maybe Kiwi.
And I saw, you know, and the commentary that happens over there, all the made-up commentary of Barclay, yes, during it happening, because everyone's like trying to work out what's happening. He got classed as an American on several websites, because no one knows him.
Yeah, it keeps very, very low yeah, key. But what does it mean, do you think? You know, we've had plenty of Kiwis, well, not plenty, but a few Kiwis go over the years to this, you know, iconic sort of legendary event, and to now finally have a Kiwi finish it. Do you think that will inspire other people, or, you know, make people think that it is possible?
Yeah, I think the people that want to do Barclay probably knew that it could happen, and it just takes everything. But on that sort of race, it takes everything to fall together at the same time. Like, it's the ultimate. We talk about like a miler being a puzzle and all the levers having to be pulled the right way. Well, the Barclay and Revenant is the same sort of thing. Everything sort of needs to fall in place. Mm. And it was just a matter of time. But yeah, hopefully, you know, we have some amazing adventure races in that, and road gainers, and hopefully, yeah, people will notice that New Zealand can do stuff like the Barclay well.
Now, you let slip that you'd applied, I think was your word.
Yes.
Is this, you know, so you have intentions of getting there?
Yeah, I'd be keen to do it. Definitely. Yeah. That's right up my alley.
Can you tell me what the process is, or will you then have to take me out back and kill me?
No, I'd then have to take you into Riverhead and bring a spade with us into the middle. We could go into the shower block, actually. I could just lock the door.
But suffice to say, it's a tricky path to get there, isn't it?
It is. And the process is tricky to apply, and then there's just so many people that are applying in very limited spots. There's a very small limit on the number of people that can run it due to the park consent and stuff. And so that's really heavily managed. Mm-hmm. And Les and his team, which is the team's taking over a bit more as Les is getting on a bit, really go through a process. And this year they actually explained sort of the selection process and how hard it is to balance between people that have done it that still haven't finished, that, to give them a second chance or a third chance, versus new people and internationals and having Americans. And yeah, it's a fine balance of getting the right people there, giving them the opportunity.
Yeah, because, you know, Netflix must have a lot to answer for, mustn't it?
Yeah, we must be doing another documentary.
Surely.
It's quite old now that there's a lot happened since then.
Yeah, although I still have people say to me, hey, I've just seen this movie
on Netflix.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, are you kidding me?
Like, if you ask people about the Barclay, they either know totally nothing, or they're all over it because they've seen the Netflix.
Yeah, totally. Well, look, I just wanted to say congratulations on this event, because it's phenomenal, it's brilliant, it's got a great Wairoa, a great spirit. You know, we always talk about it being the sort of festival of trail running, but it feels magnificent. So, you know, well done awesome. To you thank and your you. Crew.
Thank you. It's an awesome, fun event to put on. It's tiring, but yeah, it's just super rewarding to see everybody coming through. Like this morning, it was mind blowing. Just blowing, you know, blowing the first start hooter, and it just people pouring past you, and it just keep going and going, which is like for relapse, it's yeah, very unique.
Yeah. Well done.
Go.
Madeline Collins, welcome back to Dirt Church Radio. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm at Riverhead Backyard Ultra, the best vibe event ever.
It is so cool.
Yeah, it always fills my tank, even when I'm exhausted beforehand, because everybody's just so happy.
It even made my voice squeaky then. I don't know if you noticed that. Anyway.
Blame it on the cheering.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, have you got an official role here this weekend?
Well, not as an event director. My real job is too busy at the moment for me to give much capacity to event directing.
However.
But, yes, two of our girls are currently out on lap 8 and still smashing it. So I'm crewing them, and Brooke Thomas, the legend, is here, and I'm going to crew her through the night tonight. Mm. And probably Meg and maybe Zara. So maybe I'll be busy right through anyway.
You could well be. We better keep an eye on the clock then. Yeah. Now, exciting news this weekend at Barclays. Yeah. What are your thoughts on what Jasmine has been able to achieve?
You know, it's always so inspiring and exciting when someone breaks any barrier like that. And for me, as a female who loves to be out in the wild, climbing hills, trying to do something new, going through the night, going through the day, going through rugged terrain, it's still been an unknown whether actually a woman can do that like men can. It's given that we can go the endurance length, that's not surprising. But it takes so much strength to go up and down those hills and bash through, you know, the stuff they've got over there, the briars, and that it's really hard. And just to do it relentlessly in that time frame, men's bodies are stronger. That's just physiology. That's not anything else except science. And so it has always been in the back of my mind, are we going to be able to do it? Can women actually do something like that because of the strength required? So to see it happen, it's like another glass ceiling gone. Like there's actually no barriers. We just think that there are. And this is evidence and proof that it's true. And raising three daughters who I think are pretty cool and who love to get out there and adventure and have got some pretty lofty goals for them, it's another woman who has shown them, well, go get it. Like, just do it because you can. So, yes, I'm pretty stoked. Secretly stoked for a Kiwi finishing too.
Well, that's true. That's true. We'll talk about him as well. But that's the thing, isn't it? If you see it, you can be it.
Yeah.
That's kind of become a cliche, but is it actually true, do you think? And especially for your girls and yourself.
I think it is. You know, like in my own experience, I've got to a point through what I have done that I've got a tattoo that says it, that if I believe it, it can happen. But it sounds really cliched as well. It's actually quite transformative to get to that point, and it takes a lot to truly get to that point. And that's something I'm really grateful for, that I have got that I know I can just do it. It's all in my head. But sometimes, or for a lot of people, it takes a long time to get there, if you ever get there. So if you can have someone else give you that belief while you work on your own, then take it. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. She worked towards it, didn't she? You know, it's not like she's just come from nowhere and, you know, she's, despite this weekend, she's a legit legend from the get-go. But to see her work towards this, and there's something in that too, isn't it? It's like these things don't come easy.
100%. It doesn't come easy. It takes so many attempts, so many fails, so many, pathways and just life experience, and not just out in the bush, but life and learning about who you are to be able to do something like this. So, yeah, what a legend. Holy moly.
Mm.
Yeah.
And our own Kiwi legend, Greg, how cool is that?
That's so exciting. I always love when Kiwis shine. And we do it a lot, but it's always super awesome. And especially after having Gary here staying with us last year and knowing how excited he gets about these things and how much he loved being in New Zealand and meeting us low-key Kiwis, as he called us, and thinking we spoke a completely different version of English, for us to send a Kiwi there and to smash it, like, I know that Gary will be a little bit excited about that too, and Sandra. So, and for us as well, Kiwis can do it. Let's go.
Let's go. Did he have any thoughts on Greg? Did he think he could do it?
I don't know, actually. Yeah.
That's pretty close to his chest, isn't he?
Yeah.
Or both of them do.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Exciting. All right. I better let you get back to your crew duties.
Yeah. I've told Meg to run slower. And she's in already. She's in big trouble.
She's in trouble. Yeah. All right. Okay.
She needs to be
out.
52 or longer.
Oh, watch out, Meg. Okay. All right.
No one get in trouble with mum.
Right. Oh, wait. Towards. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Face towards me, but we're facing away from the speakers.
Okay.
Well, Raymond, how are you doing?
Good. I'm good.
Now, I wanted to talk to you about Jazz in Paris. Pretty exciting. And, you know, big day.
It is a very big day. First woman to ever finish the Barclay.
Hmm. What does it mean to you?
I mean, Barclay's always kind of like been a bucket list race of mine. Even before I started running, I was like, oh, it'd be cool to do the Barclay one day or support someone doing the Barclay. And kind of like, I don't know, it's nice to know that it's doable and she's really like, I don't know, paving the way for the like future generation of like young woman runners and like showing them what they can do, I think.
Mm. And I mean, that's you. So what I'm interested in is, what does that actually mean? You know, like, what does the showing the way mean? Does it inspire you? Does it mean you can take what she did and kind of break it down, figure it out? Or like, what does it actually mean to be able to see her do what she's done for you as someone who, you know, wants to be able to run and do those amazing things?
Well, I mean, I kind of, it's like inspiring and it gives you something to like look up to. I feel like running is a very male dominated sport and a lot of my running heroes, they are men, but like it's always special having a woman runner do the things you want to do because it makes them, it feels more, I don't know, personal almost because you connect in that way with them. And it's like I now feel like I can, a bit more confident that I would be able to do that. And I feel like she's probably also boosted a lot of other women's confidence in the Barclay. Like, I feel like there will be a lot of more women finishers. Katie Wright, hopefully.
Mm, that's right.
Rooting for her.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, like, Katie came from New Zealand and went there and has done it, you know, has run out on the course, and you know her. We you know, if you race around New Zealand, you see Katie.
So yeah.
That's kind of a, tangible's not quite the right word, but it's like, oh, yeah, like, that's an actual person.
It makes it more, like, reachable almost. Hmm. Like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, I don't know, makes it more like, oh, they did that and they're from where I, and I know them, and it's like, it makes it feel like it's more something you can accomplish and not just like a dream, kind of, I think. Hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't explain that very well.
No, you did explain it very, very well, yeah. And here we are at Riverhead Relapse.
Corfi in the crate next to us.
Yeah. Yeah. We're surrounded by tents, motorhomes, dog houses.
Oh.
Yeah. Big event this year.
Very big event. There's like 200 people-ish far out. I remember when it first started and it was like Katie did 30 laps and we were like, holy moly, like no one will ever beat that. And now like to qualify for the New Zealand team, it's 38 to get the 15th spot.
But this year looks very runnable, doesn't it?
Super runnable. Way runnable than last year. Mm. Last year it was like, oh, that mud bit was so bad with the mats. And your shirt, oh, I hated that. I hated doing that. That was awful. I was going to like, oh, I pulled my calf. Oh, I have to pull out of the race. Dang it.
All right. Very good. Well, enjoy the rest of your time here supporting Dad. He's looking pretty good, isn't he?
Looking good. Looking good. I mean, it's cooling down now, so that'll be a lot easier for him. But he'll do well.
He will.
He's got it in him.
He will. Up the wass.
Up the... Oh!
Miss McDonald, how are you?
I think I'm okay. You're okay? I must admit, yeah. I'm a bit stressed.
Are you? Yeah. You look a little bit stressed, actually.
And it's only day one, too. That's going to be fun.
I mean, you've got quite the operation set up here. How many cameras? What's the setup for the live feed that you've got going?
We got three fixed cameras and two or three roaming cameras, depending on how we're going across that. It's quite the challenge to keep them all alive. And as we're kind of in the middle of nowhere, so everything's on generators and Starlinks and everything else.
Well, I was remembering the first iteration, maybe even the second and the third, internet itself was an issue. So obviously there's been advances in technology that have made what you're doing a bit more possible, but it's still challenging.
We're always trying to do a little bit more. So we just get to the end of the envelope and think, well, why not throw a few more cameras on there and see what happens?
Yeah.
It's challenging, but I think it's worthwhile, hopefully.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems to be getting a good response too. People are tuning in.
Yeah. I don't know the exact numbers on this one, but it's definitely more than pigs, which is the last time we did it. And ultimately, we just want to sort of spread the opportunity for backyards to people who either can't be here or duck in and out, or I think it's an awesome sport that more people should get into. So if we could, you know, get the word out, that'd be great.
Mm. And it's also good for people to be able to support too, because you couldn't, like this morning, for instance, I couldn't be out here at the forest, but I was able to check in and see, you know, oh, it's getting close to the hour, for instance, you know, to make sure, see who's coming in, see how they're going. It just makes you feel more connected to the event, doesn't it? Even when you're not here.
Yeah, 100%. And then that's really the intention, because there's few people who can be here for the full 2.5 or 3 days or however long this is going to go for. But I know that when I was watching some of the coverage for the one over in the U.S., I realized I was doing exactly the same thing. Don't tell the boss this, but sitting at work and turning on YouTube every hour and tuning in, it was quite cool.
Yeah. And so you've been down to Pigs, you've been down to, did you go to Arrowtown as well?
Yeah. So we on the sly started doing this in Arrowtown without telling anybody really, just to sort of see if it was possible, and it kind of was. Mm-hmm. And we tried something at Pigs this year in February and got some good responses back from that and some feedback that we could take on board. And then this one's obviously live now. We'll be in King's backyard, which I think is King's birthday. And then we'll see what happens the rest of the year, depending on what the event directors are keen to do.
Mm. You literally have another hat on, Runners with Beards. How's that going?
I do. But definitely a passion project, yeah. But sort of fits in with this a little bit, because what we're about is getting people to try something new or try something that might push themselves or discover something about themselves. And I personally feel like backyards are a great format for that. So
yeah.
That's why I love getting involved and contributing in this way.
What's the thinking? What was the thought process behind starting up Runners with Beards?
How long you got? it started.
Well, it's more a question for you.
Yeah, fair enough. But, well, I think about 3 days at this point. It started off partly to help myself, believe it or not. I'm naturally an introvert, and I discovered that running is a good way to help me get out of that and literally to discover more about myself and the people and places around me and make community, go places I hadn't been before, and sort of discover what I can do. And I thought, well, maybe there might be other people who would be in a similar boat and could use some encouragement to do that. I thought, well, why not? At the time, I was growing a beard, and I was at the registration desk for the Auckland Marathon, and I was amazed every time someone with a beard came up to pick up their bib, they were doing the marathon. And I thought, oh, God, something here, something to this. Maybe they're a bit more rugged. I don't know. And that's where the idea was born. Looked it up. Nobody was doing it. So it was either a great idea or a really dumb idea. And time is still will tell. We talk about it really being not about running or not about beards either. Yeah. And that's very true. It's just about encouraging people to push a little bit and see what happens.
And about community.
100%. 100%. We really started to see the importance of human connection, which to me is what this is all about. You're running. You're doing whatever you're doing, but you're connecting and having real deep conversations with people. And that's pretty meaningful.
Mm, absolutely. It is. And these times more than ever, that's, you know, we need connection, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't about the people. Mm. It's awesome to be able to be part of those. And I think even my own running, the conversations I have with people in the bush that, you know, people know me in ways that a lot of people don't. And that's really, really cool.
Yeah. Chris, you do so much
for the community in and around, in the stuff that's seen, but also in the stuff that's not seen, the little words that you have with people and just reaching out and stuff. And I just appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Eugene.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you better get back and check this feed's still going. I'd hate it if I was responsible for any calamity. So if it is, I apologize. But yeah, all the best for the next however many hours, days we have left.
Yeah, here's hoping.
Whew.
Yeah.
Northburn. If this is your little amuse bouche. Now on to the steak frites of the night. Northburn, the Terry Davis special. Take it away, Eugene. What do we got?
Well, Gene Beaumont, 28 minutes, 20 seconds, 35. Sorry, 28 minutes. 28 hours. What am I talking about? 28 hours. Feels like we've been going for 28 hours. 28 hours, 20 minutes and 35 seconds. Collet Ford, 31 hours, 22 minutes and 38 seconds. Veronica Pelakovka, 33 hours, 6 minutes and 43 seconds. Look, Jean Beaumont basically is Northburn. Her sixth win, I think from 7 attempts, is that right? But 6 wins, unbelievable. She is, yeah, I mean, you said it earlier, a beast. She's just amazing. Yeah, so incredible.
Queen Jean. Yeah. First in the men, Mark Doohan, 24-21-54. He backed up, didn't he? He won last year.
Back to back, yeah. And went faster.
Wojciech Wynertl in 26-27-05. And in third place, Angus Ward, 27-43-46. I mean, yeah, back-to-back titles for Mark. Oof, boom. 38 finishes in the 100 mile and 20 DNFs. That's a huge rate.
Yeah.
Shows you just how tough that race is. Now, one of those DNFs was our favorite fifth beetle of all time, our sound dude, Andrew McDowell. He previously absolutely smashed Northburn, but this year Northburn smashed him. Since he had a bit of extra time on his hands, we asked if he could send us a few thoughts on the weekend. And I, for one, actually, Eugene, I'm quite grateful of this because it'll make our end of year wrap up just less about us feeling embarrassed about him finishing everything.
G'day, fellas. Back from a big weekend down south, but not big enough. Only managed 2 loops out of the 3 at Northburn. My second DNF down there in 7 attempts. So, you know, 5 good ones, 2 bad ones. It's DNFs never feel any better. And I think when you've had them before and you know how awful it is when you wake up the next day and you have that feeling of like, oh, morning, oh, God, that's right. Oh, man. And it just sort of eats at you for a fair bit. It's an awful feeling. And you know that that's coming if you have to bail. And I was doing everything I could, and I got some great help. Kim, Orla, Billy, Gareth were all there helping me out, trying to get me out the door. The problem was that my spirit was willing. I was quite keen, but I had absolutely trashed my legs. My quads couldn't really support my body weight anymore. And so I went out on loop 3, and the very first little drop, 100 metres from the start, I was sort of stumbling over because I couldn't hold myself up. I was using my poles, and I thought, this is going to be awful. I'm going to be out here for 15 hours, and for what reason, you know? A lot of that plays with your head. And I came back and, you know, had a bit of a chat with Terry about it, and he was actually surprisingly good. Sorry, that's race director Terry Davis. He didn't give me as much grief as I thought he would. I think because he could see that I didn't want to stop. I wasn't sort of giving up really of my own accord. It was just my legs just didn't work anymore. So it's a lot of effort always goes into training for 100 miler, and then you got to get down there and you got to have all your gear ready. And you know, everything else went so well. Food was great. No real other issues. Fitness was good. But, you know, when something goes wrong, you just have to accept that it's not your day. And then you have to try and figure out why. I've got 3 months until Western States, so I've got 3 months to figure out why. Fortunately, hopefully, the Western States course doesn't quite have the same amount of downhill, but at the same time, it's hot, it's hard, and I've got to make sure that, you know, I've had 3 kind of bad races in a row. I've got to make sure that I sort of iron out all these wrinkles that I've had lately and put on a good show. And if I do have a good Western, then none of this stuff will matter. It will all be forgotten quickly. But Terry once again put on a great event and really good conditions, probably too good, a little bit too hot in the afternoon. What they call the death climb at the start of Loop 2 was scorching with no wind at all. So that was pretty tough. But, with these huge climbs, you will always get to the top. You've just got to keep moving. But all the great stuff was out there and all great support from everybody. And it's always wonderful to be in Central Otago. It's such a beautiful part of the world. Big shout out to Ian Fernside for being my chauffeur for the entire weekend and driving me constantly between Wanaka and Cromwell. Much appreciated, mate. Thank you. So for that, I'm very thankful, but yeah, not so stoked with the result. Hopefully, manage to sort myself out and have a good 3 months leading up to the big dance. DNF suck. Righto.
Thank you, Andrew, and rest up, bro. You really
and
are.
I'm sorry for that.
Our favourite fifth Beatle of all time. Better than all the other fifth Beatles. Anyway, in the 100K, it was Kanoka Azumi and Matt Grummer with the wins. And in the 50K, it was Claire Gunton and Karen Phillip.
Yeah, huge. Also, shout out. We had a couple of friends down there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Billy Fung, who been battling the COVID, made the wise decision. It is a wide decision and a wise decision to pull the pin at 50K. And our friend Jono Siwono Wright, who smashed it home for fifth man in the 50K.
Yeah.
Beer Jerk Runners represent.
Yeah. And Tommy Goose, of course, the 100 mile. Again, second one. We also just want to quickly mention that there was Loop the Lake, of course, at Lake Rotuiti, St. Arnaud. And it was, I believe, the last time this cool race is running. So forever. The winner, the champions of this race in that case, Callum Wilkie and Hannah Oldroyd.
What a show.
Oh, amazing.
What a weekend.
Yeah, huge.
Can I make a one last shout out? Very special, cute, particular.
Of course.
Again, people were endlessly kind at Relapse about Dirt Church Radio.
Yes.
And I had an interaction.
And Vaughan was wearing merch.
Yeah, that was epic. That was really cool. I came across a road and there was a dude at Dirt Church shit. I was like, well, stay tuned on that too. But ran across the road. I was like, that's really cool. Looked great on him too.
It did.
I met someone called Tessa Hogg and we were sort of in the last kilometer and she said, are you Matt from Dirt Church Radio? I said, yes. And she said, when I was living in Tanzania, I would go for runs in the mountain on my days off. And I'd listen to you guys and your accents, your punishing, indistinguishable Auckland accents reminded me of home.
Aww.
So, and at that point I said to Brooke and Tessa, sorry guys, I've got to go. I've got to dash to the bathroom and headed off down the trail to make it to the base. But really because I was about to lose my shit completely because I was so touched by that. So Tessa, if you're listening, I appreciate that. We appreciate that more than you could possibly know. And it's really cool.
It is very cool.
That you listened. So thank you. And thank you all very much for tuning in. As usual, we're on social media at Dirt Church Radio. You can email us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. Now, don't forget to sign up for the new podcast, Aid Station. Join the Aid Station crew and the newsletter.
Don't forget to write in with your greatest run ever. We'd love to hear from you. Have a read of them on the website. Get inspired. Send us your one, dirtchurchradio@gmail.com.
Thanks to our sponsors, Scott Running, for the Faster Currents, Cielly and Wild Things, and our Substack subscribers and the DCR Aid Station crew.
Stay tuned for our show in 2 weeks when we have another great guest lined up, possibly one that I've mentioned before. Check out our DCR Aid Station podcast next week. Hei kone, hei kone. Thanks, Rigby.